This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
This is Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans with me, Cheryl Burke, an iHeartRadio podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans. You know, I have to admit that since doing this podcast, I've been so blessed and lucky enough to reunite with so many of my colleagues. And my next guest definitely is someone who was more than just a Dancing with the Stars colleague and friend. She was a part of my intimate circle along with another pro dancer. And the three of us became super close. And naturally, as life and people evolve, so do close relationships and friendships. Even though I haven't talked to or seen my next guest in well over a decade, I cannot believe it. My love for her hasn't changed. And I know we're about to pick up exactly where we left off. And at the end of this conversation, it'll feel as if no time has passed. So without further ado, as I can't wait a minute longer, I am going to do a quick intro of who you're about to have the pleasure of hearing from. Okay, so my next guest is the definition of what an OG is, being a pro dancer on Dancing with the Stars since day one. She was the poster child of the show multiple times, an entrepreneur, and more importantly, a beautiful mother of two adorable children who look like they're taking after their parents and becoming ballroom dancers themselves. Please give a very warm welcome to my dear friend, Edita Slavinska, to the show.
Hey.
Edita, you look exactly the same. Wait, how long has it been?
I don't know.
I think it's been like well over a decade.
Yeah.
How are you? How's life? How is being a mother?
Oh, gosh. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's fulfilling and stressful at the same time. And, you know, it's just a whirlpool of emotions.
I'm sure. It's like a whole nother schedule for you and different than obviously your work schedule. But still, this is like, I would say, I don't know, I don't have kids, but I would say that being a mother is the hardest job, I would assume.
You know what? I will tell you this. It is. It totally is. I know moms that actually go to work so they can feel like they're taking a break from the real work at home. So
that's what my mom was doing all these years. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it now. My listeners, first of all, are so excited to hear from you. You are like the OG. Obviously, this is Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans. It is very heavily about Dancing with the Stars, but also more about just catching up in general. How did you and Alec meet? Because I've known Alec, your husband, longer than you have.
We met in Blackpool. Blackpool is this Wimbledon of ballroom dancing. It's the biggest competition in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look for a partner or, you know, if you want to be relevant in the ballroom dance community, you got to go to Blackpool. And we just did a little tryout in a little downstairs room, dingy little room in one of these dingy hotels in Blackpool. And I went kind of bananas because I didn't expect to move anywhere in my life. But I thought, you know what, if I really want to dance, there's this guy. And I thought he's really good looking. He wore his little black tank top.
Of course.
There's this guy. If I will succeed in this business, is going to be with him. And I was at this point in my life, you know, I was 20, where I was considering quitting, actually. So he kind of brought me back to it.
Wait, why?
Well, you know what? Because when you live in Poland, first of all, it's super, super expensive. Financially, it was very difficult. And, you know, there are not that many dancers at certain level. You know, I was in a Polish final. I broke up with my partner. Who am I going to dance with? My only option was to look abroad, and I literally could not afford moving somewhere and, you know, and supporting myself. So I thought I'm just going to focus on school, and that's it.
It's so nostalgic. You know, my listeners have heard of Blackpool for sure, because I always refer to Blackpool as like the equivalent of the Olympics for us, and how it is just such a grand, like how it's in this nasty, I mean, no offense, but it is nasty, this area called Blackpool in England. But the Winter Gardens where we perform is just the most beautiful. It has so much history there, and just like the orchestra. And it's interesting because, you know, I kind of compare it to Dancing with the Stars in a way. We all dress up like we're going to the Oscars, but it ain't that glamorous, you know?
No, and in fact, I think Brits call Blackpool a pit of England.
Yes. So well, I would see like people with just throwing up. It was like, honestly, just throw up on the streets. There was like two or three restaurants you would always go to. It was either like, first of all, a 7-Eleven. I consider that a restaurant. Yeah. There was a Domino's, yeah, in Blackpool or in England in general. And there was a pasta, like an Italian restaurant right across the street from the Winter Gardens. But it's like we would train for this moment, you know, and it is so... It's a life of its own. Ballroom is a bit like a soap opera, but you know, it's all great. And I learned so much, and I will never forget, because me and you competed against each other, like actually competed against each other in the ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, we did. I've been looking at I converted all of my mom's VHS tapes.
Oh gosh, you are so good. I need to do that.
So how is Alec doing? I have also haven't talked to him or Zhenya, his little brother, or anyone really in so long. How is he doing?
Well, Alec is great. He's upstairs in his office.
Oh, he's eavesdropping.
Completely. Maybe.
You can make a special appearance if you'd like.
Him and my dog. Well, he's in finance. He's so removed from dancing. It's really, he worked really hard actually for people to start looking at him as a finance guy and not just the dancer wearing sparkly, you know, shirts and spandex pants, you know?
Yeah.
So he's great. We live 3 minutes away from his brother, Zhenya, and we all have kids, and it's just kind of a fun little community here, you know?
It's so funny. My very first dance partner ever lived in Marin County, so I'm kind of familiar with it. Yeah. But it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. You go across the bridge, and it's, you know, every time we go to vacation, it's super hard to impress us because it's just so beautiful. You know, Bay Area. You lived in Mountain View, right?
Like Palo Alto, Atherton. My dance studio is in Mountain View, but yeah, it's all the same. Bay Area is beautiful.
It's just beautiful. It's just so hard to beat.
Yeah.
You know, we are super lucky, and the fact that we have, and Natasha too, you know, your sister's first dance teacher, she lives really close to us too. So this is one of the reasons why we moved. You know, after second child, we felt like, gosh, you know, it's either babysitters nonstop or we need family.
So let's just get right into it. Let's take us back to 2000, maybe 4 or 5. I know you started the show 2005. How did they approach you to do Dancing with the Stars? Like, did Dina call you, or like what happened? Walk me through this.
That's right, because you were not on the first season. When did you join? Second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? They did not approach us. We approached them. So We heard about the show from Louis Van Amstel, which obviously I'm sure your listeners know. Louis was actually our coach. You know, we had many coaches and he was one of them. And we had lunch at, you know, somewhere, I don't even remember. I actually think we were doing a show for Louis in Utah, one of these little productions he was doing. And he goes, "Hey guys, did you hear about the show Strictly Come Ballroom?" So it's a British show. And
Strictly Come Dancing. Dancing or ballroom?
Dancing.
Okay.
They're going to do a show in America. And we literally, he gave us a contact and we literally came to contact them, send our, you know, the regular casting process, send our pictures, videos, and they invited us for an audition. An audition was just like super quick, super fun. And we wanted to try something new. We were kind of all over the ballroom world and we were actually considered quitting. We turned pro. We didn't like the whole competitive world. We didn't like that lifestyle. And I decided, I want to go to law school. I want to finish school, get like degree. I think at that time changed over time. At that time, I think I wanted to do media and communication. So we didn't need to be pitched. We were like, TV show, dancing, we need to dance. Yeah, we are in. I think the only thing that we were told about it is that we will have to teach newcomers. We didn't know whether they're celebrities or not. So I remember something about, you know, trying to teach one of the, you know, producers. I have no idea. I don't remember who that was.
What dance did you try and teach him?
Probably cha-cha.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like the beginners.
And how long did you teach him for? This is fascinating.
Oh, no. That was that audition. In my mind, I might be wrong. You know, the memory is like, you know, it's really faulty, right? We create our own memories in a way.
Totally.
In my mind, it was super quick. You know, I was told a couple of lines, like, you know, they actually fed me lines because my English was at that point still not great. I mean, I had no idea about television, entertainment industry. I've never had an interview in my life before. I had no idea what I'm doing. So, you know, they asked me to say, and I'm like, am I animalistic? I mean, you know, I wear leopard print shirts sometimes. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I was so up for getting out of this, you know, ballroom world can be, it's amazing, but it's very niche. You get caught up in it.
Consuming.
And it can be miserable. It's very intense. And you know, and here we come to the sunny LA, coming to the, you know, a studio right on Beverly and Fairfax. You know, then go to a girl, have lunch. We just had a great experience.
Yeah. And also, like, back to the ballroom competition world, you don't make a lot of money, honestly. Like, you're the hard work that you put in, unless you own a dance studio and it's doing well, or unless you're very active in like the pro-am competition world where you are, you know, actively competing. But it's just not easy as far as, you know, walking out of that, I guess, world being, you know, successful in that sense, because you can't really. If you're just a competitor, you're working for yourself. Like, you can't make money in your sleep, in a way.
You don't make any money. I mean, not that we, you know, made anything that first season.
Well.
You know, we fought for getting that fixed.
Yes. But, wait, so you're saying you mean your pay for this actual show?
Right. But it's just about the show was a question mark. No one knew how it's going to go. So we were up for adventure and we didn't really care.
Right.
It was supposed to be a summer special.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure, I don't remember the details, but I'm pretty sure it was one and done because at that point, no one knew this is going to go on.
Right, right. And did you, okay, so when they said you're going to do this, right, did they say you're going to meet your partner basically on this date? And did they tell you who your partner was going to be?
Trying to think. I think I was told my partner will be very close to the meeting time. So like maybe a day before, just like they've been doing it. You didn't want a complete surprise. You know, I had a few partners that if you put me in a room with them without letting me know who they are, I would have no idea who they are.
Same, except for one.
Which one?
Ian Ziering. My mom only let me watch 1 hour of television a week and it was 90210. That's the only reason why I knew that one out of 26 partners, one.
Wow, okay. I mean, I probably wouldn't recognize him if I saw him, but the name seemed familiar. And then I called my dad and I told him, Dad, I'm going to be dancing with Evander Holyfield. And he goes, what? Yeah, my dad is like a huge boxing fan. And he goes, girl, you don't understand.
He said, girl.
A legend in the boxing world. So everyone was super excited about that.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Did you have prior teaching experience, like for beginners, when before you did Dancing with the Stars? Like, did you do pro-am at all prior?
I didn't do pro-am, but of course I had teaching experience. I used to teach little kids at our dance students. So teaching was not new. That part was easy, I think. Coming up with a choreography and actually creating performances, that was more difficult because, you know, I don't know how much your listeners know about ballroom. In ballroom dancing, you dance one routine for years and you tweak it here and there. But it's essentially one routine that you dance over and over and over.
Five routines, but the same routine for Latin.
Your routine for cha-cha is, you know, the same for, you know, since I danced, started with Alec in 2000, up until 2005 when we started the show, is the same, but little tweaks.
Yes. And we do that because we want to build a foundation. Like, if you keep changing your routines, you're not going to be as good, right?
Right. So that's, ballroom dancing is a different purpose.
Yeah.
When here you come on a show and you need to come up with choreography, sometimes two or three dances a week. Like within matters of days.
You don't get a week. It's like 3 days.
It's like 3 days, right?
Yeah, because you still have those amazing wides that the directors ask for. I'm currently doing another series on this podcast, and it's a rewatch series, and I'm about season one, week four, I'm about to watch. So I watched all of your old stuff. And, you know, I have to say that it's actually interesting because when it comes to the level of dancing, I almost think that it was higher then, like when it comes to the technique and the authenticity of what ballroom dancing is. I think if people did these routines nowadays, it would still be okay. Like it doesn't go out of style on the show.
I haven't watched it in years.
It's crazy. It's like black and white television, but on YouTube.
I definitely was a better dancer than I was, you know, later on the show. Because coming to the first season, we just came off from the ballroom routine when we trained ballroom 5 hours a day. And then you kind of started doing other things.
Right.
We didn't train as intensively.
Not at your ability, though. But teaching and dancing, I think, are two different things, right?
Well, teaching and also, you know, our abilities expanded, but in different areas, I think. When it comes to ballroom, we kind of, you know, I don't think we progressed as much as ballroom dancers that continue competing would. But we progressed in other ways.
As a teacher, yeah.
As a teacher, so we had to learn all these different dance styles, as choreographers, as performers. I mean, just performing on a show, it's a very different skill than performing in a competition.
How so?
Well, in a competition, you have 20 or so couples at the same time on the floor. You're competing for attention. You know, why do girls wear this really, you know, in my opinion, obnoxious makeup? I mean, the lashes, the black
the
hair,
nails.
You know, the nails, the super bright costumes with ton of rhinestones. You do it because you want to draw attention to yourself and the really sharp movements. Actually, the way you dance also is meant to kind of bring attention to yourself. You want to stand out. On a show, you're the only couple on the floor. Everyone's eyes are on you anyway. And then you have the camera close-ups. You don't want to look like a freak. You know, you are not dancing for the audience that's 20, 50 feet away. You're dancing for someone who might be watching your face on TV blow up on the 50-inch or 80-inch screen TV. You need to really tone it down. You really need to pay attention to little details. You need to make sure you're as natural and really in the moment as possible. And you really need to focus on being your best rather than competing against other couple right next to the shoulder.
When did you know that this show was going to be a hit? Like, when was it, season one or was it season two?
You know, I don't know, because I didn't think in these terms yet. I didn't know what a hit TV show is. You know, I didn't know Hollywood. I didn't know ratings. I didn't know how it works. But I knew that this is big. I'll tell you one little incident. When we were walking, I think like maybe across Third Street, you know, from one of these little restaurants to the studio, the Third Street Dance. Remember, we used to train there. And someone across the street started shouting, "Hey, this is this guy, the one Dancing with the Stars." And he was referring to Alec, right? To my husband. And he was, you know, and people looked, people started looking around. They're like, "Hey, this is that guy." And I'm like, "Oh my God, this is big." Like, people actually can recognize your face. This is something. This is not just a really like tiny little summer show. And, you know, and soon after, I think we got a call that there will be the redance or whatever, the rematch.
Yeah, the dance-off, which was, I think, ridiculous. But I think they did that because the show was so popular. You know, I'm at the point now for this rewatch I'm doing is when she did when Kelly had that wardrobe malfunction. Now,
oh, nice.
It was, I think that may have been the turning point too. Like, look, I think, first of all, how was like the whole, did you have to teach the executives what ballroom makeup and spray tan was? Like, did you have to teach them what the costumes were like? Cause I remember even back in season two, we did help guide like the glam team a little bit. Like, how do you make your hair so shiny that you can see your reflection through my head? You know, like, and why do we have to be so tan? So like, did you have to kind of guide the production as far as like what, like the authenticity of what ballroom is?
Well, you know, they had, in the first season, they already had someone from like ballroom world doing the costumes. I think it was Randall Kim in the second season. But with makeup, it was a tricky thing. The team in the first season had no idea, with all due respect. I'm sorry. They had no idea what they were doing. But here's the thing. I was very inexperienced and I was told that camera has different rules and the way you look on camera and in real life is very different. So this lady would do my makeup and I'm looking at myself and I don't even look at like myself and I'm hating it, but she says, "Trust me, on camera you are going to look great." And I'm considering her a professional, so I trusted her. The first show, I looked back at the tape and I'm like, I cannot believe this. How can she make me look worse than I actually look in real life? You know, objectively.
Right.
And people, like my friends would ask me, like, what are they doing with your face? So that became, right? So that became very quickly fixed. In the second season, a different team came in.
And do you remember when they wanted us at the time, I forgot who it was, but they wanted us to put sequins on our eyelids, and me and you had to go into the freaking stage and we had to go walk onto the stage because I was like, you have to look at this on camera. I can't open my Asian eyes. I cannot open my eyes because of the freaking sequins glued onto my eyelid. I could barely see.
When you dance, when you're a dancer, you're quite insecure about your looks and you want to make sure that you look good. That's part of your personality and your identity, and you want to feel confident. And then someone comes in and makes you wear something or do a makeup, that's completely not you. That's completely out of your comfort zone. And, you know, throughout the years, I learned that when you work with real professional, you can sometimes trust them and you can work together. And it's a great way to come out of the comfort zone. And the couple of times that I did it, it came out really, really great. But I think you pointed out to really good, you know, you had a really good point. I think the producers were learning everything about it, and we were teaching them, and we were very heavily involved in costume design and in, you know, in how the makeup is done and what is the proper hair. But it was a bit of a teamwork, you know, they were pushing us to come out, to step out of our comfort zone and our little bun and slicked hair. And we're pushing the other direction. And I think it really came out well at the end. It's just that first season, I remember I was so, so upset about that because it was really not done. Fixed really quickly, though.
And that's the thing. Like, when they were telling me not to put as much tan, you can't do that. Like, you know, for instance, the camera adds 10 pounds. That is a fact. And, you know, we all have our own insecurities, right? So when it comes to me, it's my body. It always has been. And, you know, with that, I'm going to put, if I need to swim in it, tan, I'm going to swim in tan. And unless you fire me, this is how I'm going to look on camera. Because if I feel comfortable doing this, then I perform at my best. If I don't feel like I look my best, I don't perform and I can't be what they also hired me to be, right? So it's like, it's a you know, double-edged sword, basically.
I know, but think about it. You know, all these fights about the spray tan, and then the actual spray tan became one of the staples of ballroom, of Dancing with the Stars.
Exactly.
Anything Dancing with the Stars, it's like rhinestones and spray tan.
Did you, and with Randall Christensen, rest in peace, he passed away, I think, a few years ago, but he came directly as well, straight from the competition world to, you know, where we would shoot at CBS Studios. And did that help with your comfort level when it comes to costumes, knowing that it was going to be authentic regardless? It wasn't going to come from like a runway show?
Right. I loved Randall, and I think he really contributed from the start to making the costumes really, really professional. But you know what? I'll tell you a really funny story. I think what really actually helped the show as well was, believe it or not, George Hamilton. George Hamilton came in season two, and he started talking about how the costumes are not supposed to be only, you know, like a variation of ballroom costume, but they should really be give out the character of the dance. So let's say we would dance this Ginger Rogers for a Stern number, and I literally would have a dress made to copy Ginger Rogers' dress from like a little number that she did in one of the movies with Fred Astaire, I think from this dance, Cheek to Cheek. And then we would dance this one dance when I was supposed to be this really elegant lady, and I would wear like literally a dress that looked like a black gown. Mm-hmm. And George rented a real jewelry worth, I think, $1.2 million. We had a bodyguard in a dressing room because I was wearing the jewelry. I remember at some point.
Wait, how much money was it worth?
$1.2 million. It was a real diamond necklace and real diamond earrings. One of them fell off during the rehearsal.
Wait, during rehearsal, not the live show?
Yeah, not the live show. We quickly put it. I mean, there were eyes on those, you know, on those earrings the whole time. I'm telling you, we had a bodyguard that show.
Oh my god!
So I think he brought it to the next level. And you guys, but Drew, you know, you were dancing your "Save Your Eyes" by the Cowboy. Your costume was not a ballroom costume.
No, it was a freestyle, though.
It was a freestyle costume, but it was something that, you know, in season one, probably it wouldn't happen. It would be a dress that maybe it would be beigey brownie, but it would be like a ballroom dress.
Right.
So the second season, really, things started picking up in a sense of, hey, let's make a real show, you know?
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates.
Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What did you learn most about your time season one?
Well, it was like dipping my toes into something completely unknown. You know, I was training with Evander in Atlanta. I lived in a crappy hotel in Atlanta, drove my car around completely unknown. The producers came with me, so they were helping me kind of understand what makes a good show. So, you know, we talk about like the interviews and what they're trying to get from Evander. And that was actually really helpful because Evander was really the most important cast member of that season. I actually think that without Evander, this show would not be that successful.
Really?
I think so, because you only, with Evander Holyfield, you not only brought the fans of dancing, but you brought all these guys that wanted to see a boxer, you know, dance the cha-cha.
And a sexy lady with him. Yes, yes.
And, you know, and I think the producers picked up that trend really fast, and they had Emmett Smith and all these football players throughout the years, because I think they brought a whole new audience to the show.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, I think Evander was super important component of the show, even though, you know, we got kicked out really quickly.
Well, not really. You only had 6 weeks. You were actually, technically, you made it halfway through the competition. Was he quick? Like, did he ever, I guess, show frustration with you? Did he respect the art form? Was it difficult to get him to rehearse, or was he just a great student?
Well, you know what? Evander is a real champ. Like, you don't become a world champion if you are not super disciplined. He would run, I think, 10 miles a day. Super disciplined, very professional, never late, very respectful.
Yeah.
So he really treated me as a coach, which was amazing, because later on, you know, I would always get that attitude with athletes. And I loved working with athletes. You know, discipline, respect, and amazing focus. And although, you know, Evander had trouble with focus, I must say, he always knew his limit. And he would tell me, okay, I'm tired. Let's finish now. Let's pick up the next day. But when we worked in a little studio in his house in Atlanta, he was always 100% with me and always 100% trusting me. And I really appreciate it.
That's amazing.
He was a real class act.
Moving forward through your seasons, you did a total of 11 seasons on Dancing with the Stars, even though I feel like you've been there with me through the last 26. Why do you think you never won the mirror ball? Does it frustrate you that you were there from the beginning? Do you find it to be, I guess, was it discouraging at that time for you or no?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't want to be cocky or anything, but I think if I stay there long enough, you know, if I kept continue coming back to the show, eventually I would win that mirror ball trophy.
You think so?
I think so. I think it was a little bit of, you know, you get a good partner, you get a little worse partner, you get a good partner, you get a worse partner. And I actually feel the producers really tried to give me someone maybe not very famous, but young and good looking. You know, I had...
You had a lot of them.
Well, I had a fair amount of, you know, guys on the older side.
And good looking as well, though, young and agile.
But towards the end, when I, you know, when I, the very few last seasons I then said Ashley Hamilton. I mean, who was
George Hamilton's son?
George Hamilton's son, very good looking, tall guy. But unfortunately, you know, dancing was not his thing.
Well, also his fan base wasn't as big, I'm sure, as the others.
But you know what? Fan base is one thing. Look, think about guys like Neil DeMarco. I think he won with PETA this season when I came back. I don't think he had a huge fan base. But, you know, I danced with Aidan Turner, who, you know, not many people know who he is. But he was this very, very handsome guy, a soap opera actor. And I really truly believe that producers had no idea that he actually has no dancing bone in his body, mm-hmm. because he looks like he could be an amazing dancer. Mm-hmm. So I think eventually if I stay there long enough, you know, I'll get someone who, you know, I could win with.
So you came close with Jason Taylor. Were you upset that you didn't win then?
I mean, Christy Yamaguchi, she's practically a dancer. Right. She's phenomenal.
Yes.
No, I would never get... Listen, I also don't think that it's a true competition. There are too many things that are out of your control as a dancer to be upset about it. I mean, it's about your partner, it's about their popularity, and then it's about the audience vote. You know, if... And this is actually one of the reasons why I left pretty early, is because me and my husband... We didn't like the fact, and it's not a criticism of the show, it's just the nature of the business. There are so many things in entertainment business that are out of your control, starting from the casting process. You have no say whether you're going to be picked up or not. And I'm talking about casting for the show, but also if you're an actor, you know, you go to all these auditions and you're treated like a cuddle. It's a very brutal process. Things and it's not up to you or your abilities. You're not going to get picked up because your eyes are brown and not blue, or because you are too short, you know, or on Dancing with the Stars, maybe you are not picked up that particular season because they don't have, you know, a certain profile of a partner that would, you know, fit you.
Do you think it's black and white like that?
You know what? After we left the show, we produced a fair amount of stage shows. We even went on a tour, 50 city tour, with my 1-year-old. And, you know, and I, so the different animal stage shows, but I learned a lot about production, and we were involved in a every single process of it. There are so many aspects that go into casting that as a dancer, you don't see, that it's really mind boggling. It's something that, you know, it's, creating a good show, it's not only about picking up the best ballroom or whatever dancers. Like, think about it. Even at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars, the producers went out to Ballroom World and picked up the best ballroom dancers. They would come up with a cast of 10 Eastern European speaking, fiercely looking people.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They needed diversity.
Of
they
course.
Needed cute blonde. They needed, you know, they needed
an Asian girl. Needed, yes, of course.
Right. They needed American, yes. Australian. So, you know, that's for Dancing with the Stars. In our productions, there were different factors, but there was just a lot more going into it.
I was reading an article about you recently, but it was came out a long time ago, back in 2010, from TMZ, the one and only TMZ. It basically says that they asked you, you know, why you're no longer or why you're not on the show, and you said that you quit over a major disagreement with the show's producers. The producers' vision of what they wanted your career to be did not meet your expectations. They wanted your career to be the show. I can't be a dancer my whole life. Is this true? Like, did you say this, and what did you mean by it?
You know what I meant by this is that I never saw myself as just a dancer,
right.
Me or my husband. And we always tried to do different things. We got into acting for a little while. We obviously always continue going to school. My husband ended up finishing Stanford Business School. So it's it was just that, you know, and you also have to remember one thing. Me and my husband were considerably older than, for example, you. You know, I'm going to be 45 this year. So,
you look freaking amazing on set. Oh my God.
Who's speaking? Cheryl, who's speaking? You look very good.
I'm almost 40. I'm 40 in May. But yes, I never felt like you were older than me. Like, I always felt like we were the same age for some reason. I don't know.
I never considered age to be a disadvantage. I just felt like as I mentioned, this business makes you very dependent. You are on the whim of the producers. We will literally get a call about whether we are on the show or not a few days before the show starts.
Like a few days, like 3 days.
3 days. So you're hanging out there doing your thing. You can't commit to other things. You can't plan for the future because you're waiting for this phone call from the producers. And because of all the exclusivity clause in your contract, you are prohibited from doing other things. And that was, to me,
like, you couldn't go act. You couldn't do another dance show like that.
You couldn't produce other dance shows. And I thought that's really limiting. Now, you know what? If I was producing Dancing with the Stars, I would do exactly the same thing because I do want exclusivity with my dancers, and I do...
But not if you're not using them.
Not if you're not using them. Exactly. So there were a couple of things that I disagree with. And that's why we quit. We wanted to be independent. We wanted to do something that would be a fruit of our work without waiting for someone's phone call.
Yeah.
And that was it. There was no... obviously there's a certain amount of bitterness and disagreement. But like, looking back, these things are irrelevant. We make choices in our life, and our choice was to go our own way, mm-hmm. to not wait for the show to pick us up.
Did it affect you when you were picked up versus maybe Alec wasn't picked up a season? Did that kind of sway your decision?
Of course, absolutely, 100%. That was another thing, you know. I couldn't blame them for not picking Alec up for whatever reasons they had, or I couldn't blame them if they didn't pick me up and pick Alec up. But we were already married in 2007 and we wanted to work together. Now, you know this industry and you know how difficult it is to stay in a relationship in Hollywood. And right?
Yes.
And we valued our relationship 100% more than the show. So here's the thing. I got this guy, I met him in 2000, and the show came and the show went, and we are still here having two children. That is, for me, more important than anything else. When I got picked up on the show and Alec didn't, I would spend the whole time away from him. So it's not about, the producers allowing. I would not have time to do anything else. The show is consuming 100%.
Especially if you're traveling. Yeah.
Traveling, costumes, interviews, camera blocking.
But he would help you with your celebrity. I mean, we all got help.
You know what? He did help me a little bit, but truly, particularly if you get someone from out of town, you spend time away from each other. And, there's a ton of temptation too. Like, you get caught up with it. It's like
temptation. Like, what do you mean by that?
Oh my God. There's, you feel like it's like being in the movies,
like a sexual temptation, like a,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Your relationship in Hollywood is tested all the time and a lot more than in any other regular environment, because you have all these extremely attractive people all over the place.
And then ballroom dancing.
And then ballroom dancing. So your relationship gets tested all the time. It's not a natural environment.
Did that happen with you guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We both had moments. You get caught up with it. You get kind of...
Consumed.
You are in a situation and you think it's reality when you look back at it, it's like shooting a movie.
Yeah.
So, okay, in a movie, the couple portrays a romantic couple and we watch them on a screen and we believe that they are in love, right? I mean,
that's their job. Yes, yes.
That's their job. And guess what? Sometimes they are. Look at Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I mean, smoking hot, they end up being. But then there are so many other movies where you cry over this couple's romances. And, and they never end up having anything romantic relationship. But we knew that that exists. We knew that the divorce rate in Hollywood is like, 90% probably.
So how did you communicate, like, when that would arise? Because I'm sure, I mean, you had a lot of good looking partners. And I know, like, from just witnessing, you know, your chemistry, you guys, you know, for the most part, you got along with most of your partners, I would imagine, right? And there were certain people you bonded with versus maybe others, which we don't need to go into detail about. But when were you aware of all of this happening? And, like, how would, first of all, how would that be communicated to your husband? And how did, or did Alec notice it? Like, how did it, or did you notice it after the fact?
I think we were learning about ourselves and about our relationships. You know, I remember being super jealous when Alec was dancing with Josie Mara.
Moran. That didn't last very long, though.
No, it didn't. But I mean, the girl is gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely.
The girl is absolutely stunning. It's like...
So you were jealous, like you felt the... But you were on the show, weren't you?
I was on the show, yes. I actually don't remember who I danced with. Probably...
That must have been better, though. Imagine like Alec's situation being home and then you're on set.
Well, but here's the thing. You think that Alec was home. Alec was in the acting class.
No, but you know what I mean. He wasn't involved in the cast, so he didn't see you. Yeah.
True. Yes. Yeah. So that's... Absolutely. That contributes to the fact that it became increasingly difficult when Alec decided to step away from the show. But we were learning about it. You know, I remember meeting Aidan Turner and being completely smitten with it. He's so adorable, so incredibly handsome. And, you know, and one of the producers revealed to me, you know, a couple of weeks into it, she goes, Edita, Aidan is in love with you. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? You know, but for a minute there, I was smitten with him and it wasn't anything sexual. It's just, wow, what a great guy. And I get to know him, you know, and very quickly you get to actually know these people and you start
quickly
noticing the little nuances and the, you know, you start learning about them. But for that split second, you do get smitten. And then you are on the dance floor. And now imagine with Aidan Turner, we were not very successful. But then you're on a dance floor and you're on a show, you're dancing just sexy dances. And then maybe you are doing really well. And that contributes as well to building your chemistry and building your
bond,
connection between each other. You build a special connection. And that's really difficult. And I know this. And then the show is over and it's done. You know, that connection is over. And you learn about yourself that this is just a very harsh environment for the relationship. You know, if we really want to survive, we probably, you know, need to look into it and come up with a solution that would work for both of us.
And that solution was, so was it your choice to leave the show or was it, did you guys just not get asked back?
You know what? I didn't wait for that season. I think I told the producers that, listen, if you are not picking Alec up that season, I don't think I want to come back because I really do want us to work together. And they said, you are not in, I think I, you know,
you're under contract.
Rightfully.
Yeah.
I was told, I'm sorry, but you are not in a condition to give us
an ultimatum.
You are not in a place to give us conditions.
Yes. Yes.
And that was it. That was it.
But like, they're not going to force you. I mean, would you say then, what is it safe to say then the reason why you said that was because you didn't want to like any longer create any more possible drama or possible weird feelings of jealousy, or you just wanted to be with your husband, and in order for that to happen, they either had to hire him or you both were out.
I wanted to have two things. I wanted to either be with my husband, be with Alec, or be let out so I can go on and do my thing. So it was really a combination of things. It wasn't one reason or another. It was just the fact that, you know, we started to have a different mindset.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge.
you have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
First of all, how was Len Goodman and being back in the ballroom after God knows how many years? Why wasn't Alec involved in that? And how was the experience? Because I watched it from home. It looked beautiful.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's sad that we had to get together for this occasion, but it was literally like a high school reunion. It felt like a high school reunion. I haven't seen these people for so long. I think that Alec has not been a part of the show, and he didn't want to be a part of the show for so long. And to be honest with you, I don't think he would dance anymore. Alec hasn't danced in so long. You know, it's hard. Imagine, here's the guy. You need to trust him with your money. He manages, he's an investment manager. And he's supposed to put, you know, the high heel shoes and...
Yeah, but they wouldn't be watching, you would think, right? Or he wouldn't be promoting it on his website.
Well, you don't have to promote it, but like, it's a big show. Yeah. It would come up, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not the image that he's after.
Okay, fair enough. So did they ask him and did he turn it down or...
No, he wasn't asked. But I don't think he... Well... We have a little situation, you know, Mark Ballas' wife was about to give birth. There was a little idea floating around that we would, that maybe Alec would step in for Mark if his wife went to labor. You know, and I thought for a minute, oh, that would be great. But then I told Alec and he's like, no way, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way I'm dancing. I'm coming back to dancing. And yeah, there's just no way. He's so far away from it.
And so when they asked you, did you say yes right away? Like, was this a yes?
Well, I couldn't decide for him.
No, for you.
Oh, for me? Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
I could be, you know, as long as logistics timing worked out, I was like, yes, I'm up for it. Yes. I thought that for Len.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You know, and coming back to the show, I also kind of looked at it from the side, compared it with the times.
And?
We were starting... And it is really a well-oiled machine. It runs almost by itself, Cheryl.
I know.
I mean, you've seen it. You've been there for much longer than I have. It literally, it's such a routine, and there are so many people that have been there from the start almost that know the drill, that I think they have it all figured out to the, you know, a little...
To the details, to the T. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I could talk to you freaking forever. It's we have so many stories. Okay, so we do this thing quickly before I let you go here. I know you're busy. Rapid fire. It's fun. Should be rapid. So if you can, answer quickly, whatever comes to mind. Are you ready? Edita Slowinska. I think I'm the only one that knows how to pronounce. Am I saying your last name right? I am,
you're
right?
Amazing.
Yeah, thank
Perfect.
You. Thank you so much. Oh, Tom Bergeron. Okay, so are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, got to think quick. Who falls in love first, the celebrity or dancer?
Oh, celebrity, 100%.
Biggest misconception about you?
That I think that I have an amazing body. I always had complexes about my legs, and people are like, this is the missed legs. And I'm like, I hate my legs.
Huh? Okay, if you had to dance with one of your celebrity partners you've danced with in past seasons for an all-star season, which one would you want to dance with?
Oh, Jason Taylor, 100%.
Since you famously described yourself in season one during your intro package as animalistic, though it wasn't your idea, obviously, now that I know, on the dance floor, describe what each of your celebrity partners reminded you of. So name in one word, basically, of what each of your celeb partners reminded you of when they danced on the hardwood floor. Evander Holyfield.
He was a little bit like a wounded tiger, like really strong and amazing, but like he was... You know, his legs were not very quiet, but he had the spirit, you know?
And he must have been so sweet. Okay, George Hamilton.
George Hamilton was just the most fun. He was a Mr. Entertainment.
He definitely was. Talk about what a great tan he had, though, right?
Oh, gosh.
Joey Lawrence.
Joey was so funny. I don't know. Can I just... Joey, the only guy that would spend more time getting ready than any girl I know.
And he had no hair. What the hell? John Ratzenberger.
Oh, gosh. Nuts and Bolts. He had this foundation called Nuts and Bolts. And I think he really did not like being on Dancing with the Stars. And the only reason why he went on is because he wanted to promote that foundation. God bless him. I hope he's going well. Nuts and Bolts.
Cameron Matheson.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to make it Mr. Energy. I mean, energy is
Superman. He was Superman.
He was a Superman on steroids.
Jason Taylor.
Jason is this uber talented athlete. I mean, the fact that he's 6'5" and could dance the salsa.
Oh my God, that foxtrot literally goes down in history.
Like just amazingly talented human.
And graceful and just a beautiful man.
Beautiful man, yes.
Jeffrey Ross.
You know what? Jeffrey Ross is the only celebrity that I still keep in touch with.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love that. Yeah. Jeff is the most, you would be surprised because he's so brutal on TV roasting people. He's the guy with the most gentle heart you can imagine.
I just interviewed Adam Carolla for the podcast and he seemed to be fond of Jeffrey for sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone. If you get to know him, you gotta love him.
Lawrence Taylor.
Oof.
That says enough. Moving on.
But you know what? Yeah, maybe.
Are you sure?
Charming, but dangerous.
Ashley Hamilton.
Oh God, Ashley. I think he was a little bit lost during that season. I think he really needed to find himself, and I really hope he did. But he just needed to find his identity. It's, you know how tough it is to grow up in your father's shadow. And not only father's, his mom was married to Rod Stewart after she was married to George Hamilton. So just being a part of this ultra uber famous family, I think he couldn't find a place for himself.
Got it. Aiden Turner.
Oh my gosh, Aiden. Just, you know, like he was such a typical soap actor.
Soap star, yeah. Hey, last one, Geraldo.
Geraldo. He opened that famous vault. I actually learned that story when I started dancing with him. He has had the most professions in his life.
Man of many experiences and stories.
Many experiences, yeah. And man of many, he wore so many hats. Extremely versatile and diverse.
Okay, last question. Favorite memory when we were on the tour together?
Oh, gosh. Going to the tanning beds together in the little vans.
Tanning each other's back.
Tanning each other's back.
So many memories. I mean, remember those movies that were those little, like, phones didn't have a camera yet, but we would, like, film those, like, fun little thing with, like, Derek making fun of Louis on the treadmill.
Okay, well, so I got to send it to you because so Alec was making these movies. Like, we would actually come up with in our hotel room.
Yes.
So we have them all.
Okay. One fan question, though you had a lot, but I can't say these names. It's kierross.softball from Instagram asking you favorite thing to do in your free time. And then we'll end there.
You know what? What's considered free time? It's free time with my people. because I think the biggest change in my life is that now that I have family, and truly, like, my favorite thing is to spend time with my family, but not like, you know, spending time at home and you have the schedule and school and everything, but like doing fun things, you know, going skiing, going horseback riding, going
to Italy.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we really have fun together. And I think that's, you know, it's our little crew. And it's just kind of my thing to do. And my goal is to get my kids to do all these things, to expose them to all these different things, not only for their future life, but selfishly. So we can do it together and have fun together.
Of course. I see that they're dancing. They're the cutest, by the way.
Yeah, that's the latest thing. I don't know how long they're going to be doing it. I don't think they have a future in ballroom dancing, to be honest with you.
It could be a blessing in disguise.
You know, blessing, right. But I think it's so good for them. I think ballroom dancing is so good for them. So
please give my love to Alec and Jenya and Natasha. And thank you for doing this. I love you. Take care of yourself and we'll stay in touch, please.
You too. Thanks.
Make sure you guys follow us at Sex, Lies, and Spray Tans on our Instagram handle. And make sure you comment. Let me know who you want me to interview. What do y'all think? Let me know.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.